Today is World Missions Sunday at MCC, as well as the Fellowship of Churches around us here. And we are talking and focusing on world missions. And I'm going to be telling a story, or we're going to be studying or talking through a story that is basically about world missions. It's seen Jesus presented, received, and a whole lot of people are influenced and their lives are changed. It's in John chapter 4 and verses 27 to 42, if you have your Bibles. We're going to look at John 4. It's a very familiar story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well in Sychar. If this story was written up in our newspapers today, it would actually probably start at the end of the story. But the Bible tells it from the beginning. But the newspaper would have bold headlines saying, "A whole city has come to Christ." The city of Sychar comes out to meet Jesus. That's John chapter 4. But that's not the way God starts this story. Let me just review a little bit. What we're basically doing is we're talking about Jesus being obedient to his Father. First of all, what Jesus did was, we're told that he had to pass through Samaria. And we talked about this several weeks ago in another message. I left out this part of the actual city coming to Christ purposely so that I could save it for this time. That's what I do, is I kind of chalk up some messages and then I think, oh, okay, I'll save that one. I'll pull that out and put it in my back pocket for another time. This story begins with Jesus starting a journey from Judea to Galilee. We are told specifically that Jesus had to pass through Samaria. Well, there's a couple of reasons why we could deduce that he had to pass through Samaria. He was down in Judea already and could have just gone right up the valley, the Jordan Valley, to Galilee. But it says he had to pass through Samaria. So basically, he backtracked a bit and he went through Samaria, which at that point was a longer trip than the other way. And so he goes through Samaria. He had to go through Samaria because his father told him so. How do I know that? It's not written in the Bible. But I deduce that he had to because God had Samaria on his heart. Jesus was obedient to the Father, his heavenly Father. Jesus could have used this opportunity just as kind of a vacation. You know that vacation time is a very good time to share the gospel? Our title is, Let's Talk About Jesus. You know, if you are staying in a motel or a hotel in someplace in wherever you go to have your vacations, the people that are serving you there at the hotel or the stores or whatever, you'll never see them again probably. So what do you have to lose but to talk about Jesus? Kind of a novel idea, isn't it? That's the way Katie and I look at eating in restaurants, going here and there in stores in Tokyo. There's 22 million people in Tokyo. The chances of us meeting somebody that we know is minuscule, and yet we have met some people that we knew and ran right into in the middle of Tokyo. But all this to say is, you can talk about Jesus to anyone. Your next door neighbor. Somebody you don't know. You can talk to your teachers about Jesus. When they say, come to you with a test and say, oh, you did very well. You can say, yes, I prayed and Jesus helped me on that test. Oh, are you cheating? No, that was. But we can witness in very, very mundane, ordinary ways. And this is a story of a very mundane occasion. Jesus was passing through. He was tired, sweaty and tired, and he sat down by Jacob's well. His disciples went into the city to get food. And Jesus was tired and sat down. Very mundane. When I get tired and I'm sitting there, I don't want anybody to talk to. And I'm sure Jesus felt the same way. Well, what do you know? Here comes a woman out of the city. And Jesus was sitting tired. And the woman comes up to him. She was coming because she didn't want anybody else to see her at the well. She wasn't friends with anybody in the city, particularly the women. She was a woman that already had five wives, or husbands. She was really strange. No, she had five husbands. What kind of a woman was she? She comes up to the well, and Jesus says, give me a drink. Give me a drink. And Jesus makes himself vulnerable. In other words, as she said, you don't have anything to dip into the well with. But Jesus was following his Father's will. This was the appointment that God, his Father, Jesus' Father, wanted him to meet this woman. It wasn't guzen. All you in Japanese know what that means. The twins back there don't know what it is, but it means accidental. It was by chance that she met this man. It wasn't by chance. It wasn't guzen. Guzen de wanai ne. Just practicing my Japanese for next message I give up there. Jesus was following his Father's will. He shares his need. She is shocked. She didn't expect that this Jewish man would even talk to her. But he did. He had a need. He needed a drink. He was tired. And so she says, why are you, a Jew, talking to me, a Samaritan? God will put you in situations sometimes where it's not the most convenient time to witness. But as being obedient to the Father, this may be an opportunity to talk about Jesus. Jesus replies to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. This led to a conversation with her about who he was and how he could meet her need. Have you ever talked and tried to share about the Bible to somebody, and every time you say something, the person says, well, you know, yeah, I've gone to church once in a while. No, I'm talking about Jesus. Well, you know, yeah, this is where Jesus is saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Well, you know what? Everybody thinks that they've got the right way. You know what they're doing? They're dodging. Jesus holds her to the truth of what he's talking about. Not rudely, but understanding her own need above his own. Because he was listening to the Father and faithfully obeying in his routine of life. Let's read John 4, 27 to 42. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with the woman, but no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming out to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. An incredible discovery and statement by Samaritan people. Meanwhile, Jesus' disciples were urging him to eat, but he had a challenge for them. He said, I have food to eat that you don't know about. And they asked one another, no one brought him anything to eat, did they? Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Doing the will of the Father and accomplishing his work. What is the Father's will and work? Jesus said in John 6:40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. In other words, that word, everyone who receives or sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And the work of the Father is to share and be faithful to tell the simple truth about Jesus. Romans 10:14, how will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him who they have not heard? And how will they hear about him unless someone tells them? I don't believe anyone can come to Christ without a direct witness, without someone telling them. Yes, there are occasions where people have, in a dream, or even just in an odd situation where they've found a piece of paper and it talked about Jesus, but they had to have someone speaking to them. And even in the dreams, that's not enough. The accounts that I've heard that I think are credible is where a Muslim who has no access to information about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I talked to one several years ago in Kenya. He was living in Somalia. He was going to a university. And he was going through the library, and he found a book tucked away in the library shelf. He pulled it out, and he began to read it. It was a New Testament talking about Jesus. And that stuck in his heart. So what he did was he put it back on the library shelf and stuck it in behind some other books, so that the next day he could go there. And he'd go to that New Testament, pull it out, read it, put it in behind, so that nobody else would take it, so that he could come there every day or as often as he went to the library and read about Jesus. He became a Christian just from reading the Word. And then he escaped from Somalia, barely, with his life. Two of his friends walked across the Somali border into Kenya to a village called Dadaab, a refugee camp. And there they met Christians who then confirmed what he had read, that Jesus was true. And this young man came to Christ. What an incredible witness and testimony. The work of the Father is to share and be faithful to tell the simple truth. Romans 10:14. How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? How will they hear about him unless someone tells them? So Jesus was living and walking in the will and work of his Father. That's what he was doing. He was talking about the life message that the Father was giving him to give to the world. Jesus at that point was just a witness to this woman of who he was. That's all God asks us to do, is to be witnesses. He doesn't ask us to become experts on leading a person to Christ, all the possible things that can go wrong. Just tell your own story. Just speak of what God has done for you. You know, if you go to a court and you're asked to be a witness of something that happened, the judge and the lawyers will be very, how do we say it in English? Kibishi in Japanese. They will be very strict. You cannot say anything of your own opinion. All you can talk about is what you saw or heard in that situation. That's what a witness is. And that's what we're to do. Just talk about what happened in your own life. You know what it is. You knew what happened. You experienced it. And that's what God wants you to talk about. talking about his son, let's talk about Jesus. Witnessing isn't that hard. Yes, we went through 4 weeks, some of us went through 4 weeks of a witnessing and counseling course. But you know what? When Bob was here, he was just talking about ordinary things when he was teaching us. Of our own lives and our own experience in the Word of God and what has happened in our lives. Anybody can do that. Even a six-year-old child can do that. God has put and packaged his story in such a way that each one of us who have experienced Jesus can talk about it. And that's what it means to be a missionary. That's what it means to be a Christian in our neighborhood. Let's talk about Jesus. Jesus is talking to his disciples in verse 35, and it challenges his disciples. You say that there are 4 months until harvest. And it was true. It was autumn. It wasn't autumn, but it was time for a harvest in that city. Autumn, by the way, is fall or September, October. So Jesus is saying, you say we've got 4 more months until we need to worry about the harvest. Jesus is saying, no. Now is the time for harvest. He tells them, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are already white for harvest. What do you think was in Jesus' sight or mind when he said that? When the woman went into the city and told them, the men of the city, come and see a man who told me everything that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They immediately believed her message and they came out of the city. And it says that they were coming out of the city and Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look. The harvest is already ready. Come and see a man who told me everything that I ever did. The Bible says that that in that these people were coming out to Jesus and they were already witnessed too. They already had their pumped primed. Well, you don't know that idiom. They already had someone who had poured some water into their pump and got it pumping. You know, is anybody technologically understand what I'm talking about? If you have a pump, a water pump, it needs about a cup of water to get it going. Well, she had given a cup of water and got it going. And that's what these people were coming out to see. That's all God is asking of us. He's not asking for a sermon like the miserable one that I prepared. He's asking for just your own testimony. Jesus was pointing to a real situation with this town of Sychar. This town of Sychar was not a very nice city to live in, even though they did have a well. There were things that happened there way back in history that God wanted to make right. And he was making it right today. This is what I'd like to leave with you in your hearts today. Look up with eyes of faith. see that the harvest is already ready. Be faithful to do the seemingly small things that God is giving you to do. Share His love, His grace, His truth with one person or a family or a group of friends, wherever the Lord has put you. You know, in a couple of weeks, this has already been announced several times, we have an opportunity in this city to share with our neighbors, our relatives, our friends about the celebration of love. There are four meetings that you can get free tickets here in this church. We have the tickets right back there. Sign up sheet. Okay, there's first step is sign up. November 1st, sign up on this sheet and you'll put down the number of tickets that you want. And don't just take one, because in Japan, people don't come usually one at a time. Oh, well, can a friend of mine come with me? So at least take two, okay? And you probably need one for yourself. So at least three. Well, how about four? Do I hear five? God is wanting to harvest souls in Tokyo. You know, I've been in Japan and have had Japan in my heart for 40 plus years. Now, for some of you, you weren't even a twinkle in your dad's eye. God has been doing some incredible things in Japan, but it is a resistant country, nation, people. I think God is telling us it's harvest time. This is harvest time. It's not when He sends a revival around the nation. You know what revival means? And I've shared this, I think, before. Revival is not with the unsaved getting saved. That is not revival. Revival means to be alive again. But if we have at the church, of the church, have thinking, well, when it gets right, then maybe I'll share my testimony. If it's convenient for me. If God is working deeply in your life and saying, I want you to be alive as a Christian. Don't keep your lips clamped shut. I want you to speak to your neighbors, to your friends, to your teachers, to your students. And you experience His empowering in your life. That is what revival is. Revival is when the church comes alive. And in that, we begin to speak to those that we just accidentally run into. And then what happens? Harvest happens. Be faithful to do the seemingly small things that the Father is asking you to do in His name. Verse 41 says, many of the citizens of Sychar believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. Many more believed in Jesus because He spent 2 days with them. You'll have an opportunity when you have given a testimony and someone has received it. They'll be coming back to you Tell me more about Jesus. And it may take you a couple of days to go through that explanation of how they can know Jesus. I believe that this is a word for us today. We don't have much time. It's harvest time. These are the last days. Let's lift up our eyes and look at the ripe harvest field around us here in Tokyo, here in Japan, in other parts of the world. This story of Jesus talking with a Samaritan woman is a rare occasion where we have the whole scenario laid out for us here, from the beginning of a witness to the end of a whole city coming to Christ. Does anybody know what this book is about? You do? It looks like a Bible to me. In fact, it's in a very nice case. And inside there, there's even another case, a plastic one, that they've packaged up with pictures that I can understand. What is this book about? Somebody tell me. This is for some disaster that may happen in another 5 minutes. Anybody want to read this book? I've read through the book. Well, I looked at the pictures and read some of the simple kanji. I cannot find one instruction about how to receive spiritual help from this book. Because if we were all crushed by this building coming down on top of us, this book wouldn't do us any good anyway. But this book would do something for us by the fact that we've read it, followed it, and we've come to know Jesus. If the city of Tokyo cares enough about its citizens to print probably millions of copies of this book, shouldn't we who have read this book want to share with just a few of our friends around us? It is time for harvest. We don't have a lot of time. And if you've read this, particularly the last chapter of this book, you'll know that we are very, very close to where it's imperative that we talk to our friends about Jesus. It's that serious. And that's what World Missions is all about. I'm going to keep this handy, though. Just one more word, and we're done. Jesus says, I sent you to reap where someone has already sown. There's been a lot of sowing that's been going on for the last over 100 years in Japan. A lot of seeds there. And it's incredible. Let me just tell you a story that I ran into just a couple of weeks ago. ICF has got a tremendous opportunity, you know, International Christian Fellowship that happens twice a month here right in this room. A lot of Chinese students have been coming lately, thanks to a young man who's smiling in the back row. But the Lord has used him to bring his fellow students. And we talked to specifically two people a couple of weeks ago. Grown men. They're actually students, but they're back in school again because their country has sent them to get degrees in certain skills. Both of them had said it was the first time they had ever held a Bible. But the amazing thing is, when we were telling them about Jesus, oh yes, we know he did this, and he did this, and he did this. We said, well, how do you know? You've never read the Bible. He says, well, we get it from the movies. Well, that could be good or bad, depending on the movie. We talked about Noah, and they saw the movie Noah's Ark. Well, that movie Noah has got a lot of errors in it. So they really don't need to have a Bible. And we're looking for Chinese Bibles, right? To get to for these friends of ours from China. God is amazing. Seed has been planted. Even if it's been through a trashy movie. Well, I don't know whether it's trashy, but anyway, it's just an ordinary movie. It's not the Word of God. These people are hungry. And they keep coming to ICF because we talk about Jesus at ICF. It's a platform. It's an opportunity. We can talk about a lot of things. But we also have an opportunity to talk about Jesus. I send you to reap. Others have labored. I send you to reap. Remember this story. The end of the story. From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified or witnessed. He stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word and were saying, we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. Amazing. Let's take this opportunity to talk about Jesus. Very simple ways. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to go to Kent's Bible class, but we'd like you to. Just tell what happened in your life when you heard about Jesus. That's as simple as it gets. That's revival of the church, and that is when God's Spirit will use you to talk to a Samaritan woman, to a person who really needs Jesus in their life. God bless you. He loves you so much that he gave you the gospel, and now he wants you to love your neighbor so much that you would talk to them. We heard last week from Minako about her father. He was unconscious, but she talked about Jesus to him. And the day that he died, wasn't it? The day or before he died, he opened his eyes and looked at Minako and said 3 times, arigato, arigato, arigato. Minako shared with us last week that she believes he's now with Jesus. He was a Buddhist. But he received the witness. It's that simple. We can do that, can't we, church? If God so loved you, He so loves your friends. He so loves your family. These are the days that God has for us to talk about Jesus. Amen.